It is going, and you are good to go.
Thank you, sir. So it is 11:03 a.m., and we will call the meeting to order. Can everybody see the agenda shared on the screen?
Yes.
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 Perfect. So starting with the preliminary action items, we'll be looking for approval of the agenda. The client services team doesn't have anything to amend today unless any of the legal reps or boards would like to amend the agenda. Would somebody like to make that motion?
So move.
Second.
I'll second that.
All right. Russ first, Rich second. All in favor say aye.
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 Thank you. Moving on to public comments. If there are any members of the public that would like to address the boards, please state your name and do so now. Seeing and hearing none, we'll move on to the action items. First being engagement letters, we'll take a separate motion for each of these items. And we'll start with item AI, approve engagement of Fier Law Group for legal services as district counsel. Zach, would you like to speak to anything here?
Just in general, we went over the engagement letter with you guys when we started, and I don't think there's really anything specific other than we'll keep things on track, and whenever a question comes up that you're kind of like, hey, I can handle this myself, or should I double check? Don't hesitate to reach out, and we're excited to continue working with you guys. And unless you have any questions on the actual engagement letter, I don't think there's anything to say other than we're engaged as district counsel and to ensure, you know, the district stays in compliance and that all requirements and, you know, standards are met. We've talked about this in kind of our prior meetings about the importance of that. So any all questions right, from the board?
And Zach. I think I sent some emails back and forth between you and Pinnacle, and just that there's not an overlap between what your services are going to be. I know that Pinnacle has taken over some of the responsibilities that the prior law firm had, but that's, you know, that's all fits together.
Yes, I can confirm for you. We don't double up on anything. If it's something that hands off and it's administrative, Pinnacle handles that, and Pinnacle is very good at communicating, and we like to pride ourselves on that as well. But we're kind of like, hey, if there's a question on anything, we double check, hey, you guys are doing this, we're doing this, but we tend to, you know, focus on just all the legal matters. They handle the administrative, accounting, etc., and we work with them on five or six different districts other than your districts, and it's run really smoothly. So we'll make sure there's no overlap there and double billing or anything like that. So
that's great.
And really quick, just because we don't want the ball dropped on it, can you will you guys verify that we do have insurance on all three of our PIDs? That was a big sticking point. And what that coverage looks like. And I guess more than just the deck page, I'd like to see the actual policy. That, you know, I know it's probably 80 pages, but I would really like to make sure that there's no, we don't have issues, you know, that's why you guys are here right now.
Yeah.
We don't have issues going forward.
You bet. Yeah. And I've gotten a huge packet of all the files for each of the three districts from Snow Jensen. And so I've got those in our files now and can make sure that Pinnacle has access to them as well. But I'm happy to look at those today and make sure and get whatever documentation I have from them. I can see for BlackRock, I've got the term sheet as well as the deck sheet. And so if for whatever reason we didn't get the full policy from them, I'll reach out and make sure we have that.
Just for my sanity, can we make sure that we have a description of what the coverage looks like for various types of wire fraud or any kind of cyber fraud?
Yeah, we can take a look at that specifically for you. Sure.
It's probably 100 pages, and I don't, you know, I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page.
You bet. We'll take a look at that for you and
thank you.
Get something back to you.
And Zach, we've got a good relationship with the Utah Local Governments Trust. So whatever documents you have on those binding sheets, send them over to Jake and Brian and I. We'll take a look and then reach out to the trust to make sure we're covered, both with the liability, and then if we need a, you know, a treasurer's bond or anything like that for debt insurance, we'll check on that too.
Okay, you I'm waiting for confirmation back. So I'll on the, specifically while we're here today on Cedar City, and I actually talked to the CEO of the trust, the insurance company that represents, you know, basically all the state institutions, and he said, you know, he actually took it to heart of what happened and said that he would go through the policy so we don't have to go through 100 pages, and, you know, just tell us exactly what should have been or would have been covered.
Okay, so you said he's doing that and going to provide that for us? Yes. Okay, we can kind of do a quick overview to get you something, but hopefully he'll get back on that soon.
Yeah, he took it pretty, okay, that's it. He just took it to heart. He originally told me to talk to his assistant, and then I told him the story, and he said, let me jump in. Okay. And our counsel that represents us in the litigation actually represents them, so they have a good relationship.
Okay. Yeah, I can see here for BlackRock, and it's probably the same for the other two, but you've got on this one coverage type general liability of $5 million limit, but that's just on the term sheet, doesn't give details, so we can take a look at that as well, and that's a good resource to have then looking at it. The guy that knows is the insurance specialist for sure.
Yeah, he'll get right to it and get it over to us. So okay.
Is that Curtis you're working with, Rich?
What's that?
Curtis Tonks over there at the trust.
You know what? I can tell you the guy that I'm working with actually picked up the phone is the CEO of the insurance company, and he said they represent about 600 entities. What name? Hold on. What was the name again?
Curtis Tonks.
Let me look. It is. We can keep going while I'm looking, and then I'll jump back in. It's somewhere in here. So why don't we keep going so I don't take up too much time?
All right, well, while you're looking for that, at this time we're looking for board approval. So a motion to approve the engagement of Fier Law Group, LLC for Legal Services District Council. Somebody like to make that motion?
I'll make it.
Second. First and second, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Moving on to the next item, similar is the approval of an engagement of Pinnacle Consulting Group for district management services. That engagement letter is on page 9 of the board packets. If there are any questions regarding that, I'd be happy to field some of those now. Otherwise, we would be looking for a motion to approve Pinnacle for district management services.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
really quick. It's the guy's name was Ryan. No, that was the assistant. The guy's name is Steve. His email was steve@utahtrust.gov.
Okay. Thanks, Rich.
You got it.
Now moving on to consideration and approval of Q3 financial statements for calendar year 2025. And Brendan Campbell is on the line today. He's going to be going through all the financial items.
Gentlemen, so we do have your Q3 financial statements presented. We're a little bit late, being that it's December. We're almost ready to start working on Q4, but we do prepare the quarterly financials for reporting to the state, for you all, as well as to the bonds, but we'll go over those with you today. Who's driving? Is that you, Jake?
No, I'm driving right now, Brendan.
Oh, Brian, will you take us to the very last page, page 15? So on the financial statements, we do have the September 30th financial information. It starts with from column on the left to the right, you have your budget, you have your actual activity, and then the next column is a variance column. And then we do have your tentative 2026 budget. I'm going to focus on the 2025 numbers at this time. And then once we finish 2025, then we'll bump over and start looking at 2026 as we go through that. What we have here on your screen is the Capital Projects Fund. So this is where the bond issuance came in, and this is where the monies were dispersed from there. What you can see on the actual column through September 30th, I'm going to start with the other sources and uses section. So you'll see that the first item under sources and uses, we have our bond proceeds. So we had a bond issuance of $28.9 million. Cost of issuance monies, monies to pay for the attorneys and all of the underwriter, everybody with those bond issuance, those monies came out from there. You'll note that the adopted budget versus actual, there's about $5,000 left, or the $5,000 difference. That was a contingency in the cost of issuance fund. Those monies at this point in time are not needed for cost of issuance, so they're actually going to be moved over into the project fund and be able to reimburse the developer those monies. So all in, as of September 30th, if you look at that bottom line, the ending fund balance, the district has about $16,500 available that it can reimburse the developer for. A lot of that is just a lot of that is really just a result of that cost of issuance plus some interest earnings. If you look up under revenue, there's about $11,000 of interest earnings. The district did have a large reimbursement payment to the developer, but because of some accrued interest and the cost of issuance, there's just a small, we'll call them orphan monies that are left over that are available for reimbursement. So then moving up to page 14, we have our debt service fund. So with our debt service fund, there were certain monies set aside at closing to cover interest for the first few years of the district as build out was happening and as we're getting to the point of revenue generation. Those monies are held in interest bearing accounts. And so we do have some interest income that we have in September 30th. And we do have those monies in place to make our bond payments. So no real activity to date other than just the money's there and it's earning interest, but we'll start paying those interest payments here in the near future. And then moving up to page 13, here's our general fund. So with our general fund, you'll know that there's no activity noted through September 30th, it doesn't mean that there hasn't been any costs incurred. What I need, so let me explain first and then I'll ask what I'll tell you what I need. So there are costs incurred, legal counsel, insurance, district management. A lot of those invoices are going directly to you all as the developer because the district doesn't have any funds on hand to make any of those payments. And so I do need to work with the developer to get the documentation of those payments that are being made on behalf of the district. And so with that information, then I can get all that activity booked before year end.
So that would be Cindy that you'd coordinate with?
Perfect. So I will reach out to her and get all that coordinated so that as we close out year end, we'll have all that activity in place. And just as a reminder, Nick, I see your mouth moving, but I don't hear anything.
Nick, you're on mute.
Sorry.
So were you speaking to the group?
No, I apologize.
Oh, okay. No, you're good. I just saw your mouth moving and I thought you were trying to talk to us. But if you're talking to somebody else, we don't care.
Yeah, you can mute again.
I'm going to try to do it next time without moving my mouth. So
that's awesome. But we will get all of the 2025 general fund expenses booked. There is a component to that and also why it's important that we work with the developer to get all this information. The developer, when you're paying on behalf of the district, there is a developer advance agreement in place whereby if you're paying costs for these administrative expenses on our behalf, it actually becomes a note payable back to you and can be repaid back to you in the future. And so we just need to make sure that we're getting all of that tracked and booked. And so I'll work with Cindy to get all that squared away before year end. But that being said, 2025 anticipate being within budget in all categories across the board, whether it's capital, debt service, and general fund. And in general fund, I'll have a better idea of where we stand, but I'll have a better idea of where we stand after I get with Cindy, but don't expect us to go over budget in the general fund for 2025. All right, that being said, any questions from the board?
I just think for 2025, we expect a significant underspend on that 50.
I would agree with that. And if it's anything other than that, we'll all be surprised and I'll let you know.
Yeah.
All right. So that being said, that's my presentation of the 2025 financial statements. Brian, do you want to walk us through the motion and approval of the Q3 financials before we dig into the 2026 budget?
Yeah, we can do that. So at this time, we're looking for addressing item 4B, consideration and approval of Q3 financial statements. Would somebody like to make a motion to approve those financial statements?
I'll do that.
I'll second that.
All right, Rich, motion, Nick, second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Back to you, Brendan.
All right. So the next item on the agenda is to approve or adopt a tentative 2026 budget. So as a reminder, in the state of Colorado, there's two board meetings and at least two opportunities to look at a budget for the following year. The first meeting is to adopt a tentative or a proposed budget. And then
We're in Utah.
What did I just say?
You said Colorado.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm bouncing between meetings. It's hard to keep my head
just
straight.
Just to keep the record clean.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Oh my goodness, I'm sorry. So in Utah, I am talking about Utah, whether I actually said Utah or not. But in Utah, there's a series of two meetings. The first one is to approve your tentative or proposed budget. We then post that for the public. And they have no less than 7 days to look at that. And then we have a second meeting where we have a public hearing and where we do final adoption of that budget. So today's meeting is just the tentative budget. Here we make any changes we want to make adjustments. And then I believe we already have a hold for potentially having that public hearing next Friday. And that's when we'll do the final budget approval. So that being said, I'll dig in and show you what we have for the tentative 2026 budget. If you could go back to the last page, page 15. So here we have our capital projects fund. I mentioned earlier that we did have some monies, some interest and some leftover cost of issuance that's available to repay the developer for infrastructure costs. I went ahead and carried that amount over. It could be paid out yet this year if you have documents and we could get that pushed through, but assuming that it wouldn't be, I just carried it over, and you can see in the 2026 far right column, capital outlay of a budget of $18,500. Assuming what we have now plus a small amount of interest to carry over. But those monies would be budgeted for. So if in January or early next year we get some documentation process, we can get that done and it's included in the budget. And then moving up to page 14, here we have our debt service fund. So again, on that far right hand column, we do have a bond interest payment that is due and payable in 2026. And so if you look at that middle line, that expenditure section, you can see our bond interest amount. It's nearly $1.7 million that we have budgeted. Again, we have those monies and capitalized interest already in place to make those payments. They're with the trustee. They are earning interest, but they are in place to make those payments. And just based on the reserves, the required reserves and the capitalized interest, do have a rough estimate of $200,000 of interest income that would be earned on those monies.
And that just stays in the fund, in this particular fund, the $200,000?
It does. So any money that's restricted or held for a specific purpose, any interest earned on that money has to be used for that same purpose. So because these are debt service monies, then the interest has to be used for debt service repayment. All right, and then moving up one more page to the general fund. We kept the same placeholder budget that we had for 2025. We'll have our first full year of activity in 2026. These are estimates based on normal administrative and compliance items, but then also we will have an audit that needs to be performed by a financial statement auditor. So that'll come online in 2026. And this is based essentially on what was authorized in the bond documents of a base $50,000 administrative cost plus a percentage increase each year thereafter. And so it's just a placeholder that aligns with those approved bond document parameters. Any questions?
I'm good.
All right. So at this time, that is a presentation of the tentative 2026 budget. And Brandon, turn time back over to you, Brian.
So for the record, the set public hearing date that we're proposing with this approval of the tentative budget is December 19th at 12:30 p.m. We've coordinated with everyone that should work with schedules, but if something changes, please let us know. At this time, we're looking for approval to adopt the tentative 2026 operating capital budget and set public hearing dates to December 19th at 12:30 p.m.
I'll approve it.
I'll second that.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Cool. And moving on to administrative non-action items. Zach, would you like to speak to these trainings?
Just that those need to be done by each board member on an annual basis, the open and public meetings training. And so those, they can be accessed at those links. And so upcoming, if the board members haven't done those for 2025, we'd recommend if you can get those done before end of the year. If you have already done them, great. And then I'm Pinnacle. We'll handle, there's one board training that's for the recording secretary, which is now Pinnacle Consulting. And then, yeah, once we get into 2026, that requirement will renew and you can complete those trainings at any time during the year. Probably best to get them done earlier on than wait to the end. So
I like to wait till the last minute. Like
that works too.
Like the hour before.
He likes to cram. Do it
as part of your New Year's Eve celebrations. That's great too.
Brings me back to high school doing like a report, like the period before it was due.
Yep. That's also a great way to do it.
Zach, from my own knowledge, and I'm sure there's an obvious answer, but I'm assuming these trainings have to be done once per individual, not per district.
Yeah, correct. Each board member needs to complete them.
And this is for 2026, correct?
Well, if it depends, if you've already done it for 2025, then you're good.
Okay.
If it's for 20, if you haven't done it this year, then you want to get it done by end of the year.
Okay. I think we've all done it.
I believe so, Russ.
Okay. And I think we have, I'll look in the files, but Snow Jensen sent us everything they have, and I've got a couple certificates in there. So
I may not have done it. Okay. So let me find out.
Yeah, and if you go on and click on there and enter your info, I think it will probably come up and tell you if you already did it or not. But either way, let us know if you need anything on those.
And we can do it. I mean, so one time is good for all of the boards because it attaches to us individually.
Yeah, so individually, all three of you, each of you need to do both those trainings each year. So, yeah.
Thank you. Are there any other discussion items? Hearing none, would somebody like to make a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I'll make that motion.
Was that Nick that seconded?
I think Russ got me there, but I will second it if he didn't.
Whatever you want.
We're adjourned at 11:30 a.m. Thank you. Jake, you can go ahead and stop the recording. Right, we'll see
we have to get off and get on to the next one.
Yeah, it's a different link. Yeah.
Great, okay. Thanks, guys. I sent an email. I've got to jump to some conflicting